Number of years ago, quite a number of years ago, Joy and I were in a canoe on 12 Mile Lake in the month of April, 1 week after the ice went out. And we upset in the canoe. And people who had just come up to their cottage for that April weekend came, and gentlemen rescued us. We had our life jackets on. As long as we got out within the first 20 or 30 minutes, I guess we'd be all right. And we were out in that time. Following day, I went over to thank the gentleman who had kindly rescued us, and he offered me a drink of whiskey and found out that I was a preacher. And he said, oh, he said, this is interesting. He said, tomorrow when I go to the office, I'll tell my colleagues that I saved a preacher. And he said, and one of them will say you did a wonderful work, and the other one will say you should have let him drown. Now you say, what does that have to do with introducing our speaker? It's a matter of whether it's a matter of giving commendation or giving criticism, because indirectly the reason that we are at Markham is because of Brother Walsh. For when I was 11 years old, my family attended tent meetings in the town of Moorfield, and it was in those meetings that my parents made a recommitment to the Lord. We weren't attending the Missionary Church or the MBC Church, Mennonite Brethren in Christ Church, as it was called then. But as a result of those meetings, our family began to attend and became members of the Maryborough MBC Church. And the rest is history, and we're here. So whether it's commendation or blame, I don't know. But we're just delighted to have Brother Walsh as a member of our congregation. He served the Lord for many years, and he hasn't quit serving him either, even though he's retired from the active ministry. He's still serving God. He's a blessing to me here in the Missionary Church at Markham, as I know he is to you. And this evening, we're just delighted, Brother Walsh, to have you share the pulpit as you share God's word with us.
Thank you, John. I don't know whether I'm in a predicament or not. I understood that I was to speak for about 10 minutes, and I asked John the time, and I think it's only about, what, 5 after?
I'm not aware of any 10-minute time limit.
Oh, I see.
This is news to me.
Oh, I see. Well, I may be free to go on. I don't know. I don't know whether you believe in history repeating itself or not, but years ago when I was a young Christian, very young, I would say I was converted when I was about 20, and this time I was 21, quite ambitious to serve the Lord. And it appeared that on one occasion the local Baptist minister was going to be absent, and he wanted someone to take his place, and there were no preachers available. Well, who would they get? Not particularly me. But somebody came up with a brilliant idea. Get 3 young people, and each would take part of a certain subject. So I went with 2 others, and I was the last to speak. This is a dangerous thing. And the first speaker got up to speak and was finished in about 3 or 4 minutes. And I was beginning to worry a little. And the second speaker got up and lasted 5 minutes. And I was absolutely flabbergasted. What am I going to do? And I was in a panic. Have you ever been in a panic situation? You don't know what to do, but you're going to do or die it. So I got to give my part. And one thing uppermost in my mind was, I've got to keep going. I've just got to keep going. And so I started with my little topic. And all the time I come to a little pause, because really I was done. And something else would pop up in my mind, and I'd go on again and again. And I remember looking down at my mother in the congregation, and I thought, she looks sick. And When I got home, she said, "What happened?" I said, "What do you mean?" "Well," she said, "you went on over 35 minutes after the others had finished. I just want to show you I can do it." But really, I understand that some people thought I was to preach a sermon. I don't have a sermon as such. Is it all right? I was supposed to say something, I think, about or to elderly people. Let's put it that way, shall we? And two scriptures came to mind when I got thinking about this. And one was a scripture I spoke to you, or some of you, about on another occasion. When Joshua was approached by, well, I shouldn't say approached, spoken to by God, God said to him, "You're very old, and there's much land to be possessed." And I remember reading something from Dr. Joseph Parker. The pastor referred to him a number of times. He was a genius, really, for texts. And he said something like this, that God wasn't saying to Joshua, "You're very, very old chronologically, but you're getting old in light of what is to be done yet." And really, I could say to you tonight, both young and old, you're getting old. I'm getting old. If you're 50, you're getting old. If you're 20, you're getting old. Because there's so much to be done. And in the light of what is to be done, you're getting old. Well, I don't want to linger with that. My mind hopped from there to the story of Jacob and his family coming down into Egypt. And when he came down, of course, Joseph introduced him to Pharaoh. And the scripture tells us in Genesis 47 that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, I understand from the commentators that there's more here than a formal blessing or benediction. Not just a case of being nice and pleasant and pleasantly formal, but there was something more behind it. There was the real blessing. And what was the blessing? The consciousness with Pharaoh that ordinarily with the Egyptians, living to 120 was a wonderful thing. But here was a man, Jacob, he was 130. Pharaoh said to him, "How old are you?" 130. And the years he had spent were years of trouble, of experience, of adventure, of problems with his children. And together, this formed the blessing that Pharaoh revered this old man, that Pharaoh was pleased with the blessing, and with the consciousness that behind this blessing were all these years of experience. And this is very much in my mind tonight. I can be a blessing. And you can be a blessing, not just in some formal way, not by having someone put their hands on your head and in a formal way saying, "God bless you," but just being a person of so many years and so much experience. And as a result of all this, being revered and having the ability to create blessing because of what you are, what you've done, where you've been, what you know, how near to God you are. This is the blessing. And I thought I'd bring to your mind some blessings I have had. This thing's in my way. Um, Through the years, I've met men and known men and wished that they would put their hands on my head and bless me. Have you ever felt that way? I wish that his hand had been placed on my head. These words come from the children's hymn, of course. But that feeling comes because we are what we are, made the way we are, and developed into being how we feel by the years and our experience. And I bring to mind now, going to hear the late Bishop Taylor Smith. Did you ever hear of him? Anybody? Two English people here. You've seen him, have you? Did you say you've seen him? I didn't hear that. What did you say? Oh, come on. They used to kid me years ago, you know, when I went to school here. They would call English boys and girls chirps. I don't know why. And we always had to reply, it's better to chirp than crow. But anyway, I think I'm part Canadian now, so it's all right. But I went to hear Bishop Taylor Smith in Massey Hall, and he had been the chaplain general of the British Armed Forces during the First World War. And my knowledge of Bishop Taylor Smith was this. Here was a giant of a man in a church that was largely ritualistic and formal and not altogether dead. But he was a strong evangelical man who loved God and served him fervently. And I went to Massey Hall to hear this great man that I knew so much about, had read so much about, and I sat. Have you been in Massey Hall, any of you? Sat in the second gallery, just over the platform. And the bishop came out, and this is a huge platform, you know. And he came out all alone. There he was, in the long bishop's coat, and the knee breeches, and the gaiters buttoned up the side. Do you know what I mean by gaiters? There's a few bright people here, I see. Anyway, long white hair flowing down to his collar. And I thought of all I'd read about him, heard about him, known of him. And when he came out there, I felt blessed. Is that funny? Does that ring a bell with you? Does it seem sensible at all? It did with me. And he didn't make any ado about, oh, I'm so glad I'm here, and I've heard of you people, and you're all such fine people, and all that sort of thing. He came out quietly, walked to the front of the platform, raised his hand, and said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And you know, I felt warm water pouring all over me. Have you had that feeling? Nod your head, some of you. Don't be stiff. And I just felt like that. And there's another man, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan. He came to Toronto during my student years. Excuse me. And he was getting very old and quite frail. And I thought, oh, I must hear this man. And I went to hear him. And when he came into the church and on the platform, I could see he was quite bowed and quite frail. And they placed him in a chair to speak and put a microphone up to his mouth. And he gave us a review of the entire book of Romans in that one lecture. And you know, I was thrilled half to pieces. You know anything about that, being thrilled half to pieces? And I was so blessed in my soul. And if you say, well, what do you mean you were blessed? Well, I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. I was just blessed. Because I thought of the years of this man, the qualifications of this man, the spirituality of this man, the strength of this man, the years of his service, what I am imbibed of his teaching, and I was just blessed. And then I thought about a man in our own church, a retired preacher. This is when I went to Collingwood years ago, right in the beginning of my ministry. And this man had been retired about 20 years then, Reverend John Balwell. And he had been on an old English Methodist circuit where he had to walk from appointment to appointment. No horse and no car. Long walks. But he was a real man of God. And he so walked with God while we were there that I think I stood a little in awe of him. And I remember he used to come to church there, bow his head. No, pardon me, he kneeled down in the pew. He kneeled down and prayed. And something a little humorous happened. I have to get this in here. He had a habit of saying, you know how the Methodists are, amen, hallelujah, praise God. But his word was, the Lord help us. And it always came up from the deep. And my wife used to sing in those days. And came time for her to sing. And I said, Mrs. Walsh is going to sing. The Lord help us. But we got over that, and she did. And he thought no more about it. But anyway, what I admired about the man, he retired, he had retired, but there was a church there, a black church, a Methodist church, and they had no pastor, save one who came about once every 2 months. And Mr. Balwell used to act as their preacher. In fact, when he died, the congregation attending his funeral was largely black. But this is the thing about the man. He was a praying man. And he used to go visiting in the most inclement weather every day without fail. But his practice was, immediately after noon lunch, he would go into the parlor, kneel by a chair, a park couch there, and spend a long time in prayer, and then go visiting. And you know what happened when he died? He died on his knees by that couch. And the man's life throughout like that was just so impressive. And to know him, to walk with him, to serve with him was a real blessing. Now, I've named people who are largely important. But what about you and me? Perhaps we don't feel too important. We're not bishops. We're not great preachers. We don't fill a large place in life. Well, let me tell you about a lady in one of our churches. Just an ordinary lady, if you know what an ordinary lady is. She didn't pretend to be anything. But one thing I observed about her, after every service, she would make her way down the center aisle of the church and just shake hands with the young people. And you know, you say, well, how did you get a blessing out of that? It captivated me. And in a sense, I thought, well, she's a sort of a genius. Because when we get old, we feel, well, here we are. We've done it all. Let's sit back. Nothing else to worry about. And the kids aren't thinking about me anyway. But one thing in her mind was the young people. They're the church of tomorrow. And she didn't leave it to the preachers to preach to the young people. She moved up the aisle and visited with them and blessed them and was a blessing. Now, this is all I want to say to you tonight. Can we be a blessing as older people? Not by doing some great thing, but I think we can be so that people will eventually get that feeling from us. I'm glad I know him. I'm glad he comes to our church, or she. I don't want to leave the ladies out. There was a hymn. I don't know whether it's in our hymn book or not. Make me a blessing. Not make me a great preacher. Not make me a splendid singer. But make me a blessing. I pray. Now, Brother Patterson, you're a blessing to me. Do you believe that? Can you hear?